The Holy Spirit is moving in our world and is inviting us to join in the work of God. Now, the Apostle Paul echoes a similar thought in his letter to the Galatians by urging us to live by the Spirit. Now, the passage of Scripture we'll look at in just a moment describes what a life lived by the Spirit looks like. And it's a fruitful life. It's a life marked by love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And to live this kind of life, we must be willing to follow where the Spirit is leading. So let's listen now to our Scripture passage. It comes from the 5th chapter of Galatians, and I'll read verses 16 through 26. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to that passage. The words will also appear on the screen. Again, it's Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. And these are the words of Paul. "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another." Amen. When I was a young kid, the family living across the street from me had a college-age son who loved windsurfing, which he did almost every weekend. Now, that sparked my curiosity, and I hoped that one day I would get to windsurf. Well, it took a while, and finally, on my honeymoon, when I was 26 years old, I went windsurfing. Now, Victoria and I were at a resort in Jamaica, and they offered all kinds of water sports. When I saw that they offered windsurfing, I jumped at the opportunity, even though I knew nothing about it. I didn't know how to windsurf. Now, the resort were very generous. They gave me a 5-minute lesson, which I thought was all that I would need because it looked so simple. And at first, it was. And they gave me all my gear, and I went out into the water. Took a little while to actually learn how to stand up and hold the sail. But once I figured that out, the wind was at my back, and it took me out a good ways. Several hundred yards, in fact, off the shore. Eventually, I decided I'd better turn around. And so I tried to turn my windsurfing board around, and then I soon realized that the wind was no longer a friend of mine. It was no longer filling my sail. I really had lost the wind. There was nothing I could do about that. And I struggled with this for what felt like an eternity. And then I just decided to give up. And I waved for help, and the resort sent out a boat. I was humiliated, and I had to be towed all the way back into the shore. Now, obviously, you can't windsurf without the wind. And even if the wind is blowing, if you don't know how to capture the wind, you won't go very far. And the same could be said with living with the Spirit. You know, the Spirit is moving in our world and blowing the breath of life for us all to receive. The Spirit wants to fill us with the gifts of God and to shape us into Christ-like people. And when the Spirit fills our sails, certain qualities do become visible. When we live by the Spirit, the Apostle Paul says that our lives reflect love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Of course, we all know that we don't always live like that. We don't always let God fill our lives. Sometimes we let other things occupy us, like anger, greed, fear, and lust. Even when our lives are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, we need to remember that it's not the result of something we've done. It's the work of God who is moving within us and through us. Now, this is at the heart of God's plan. God is working in us. God works through us for the purpose of blessing other people and making a difference in this world. And that's a message that we hear consistently in the Bible. In Genesis, for example, we learn that God's plan included blessing the world through Abraham's family and his descendants. Later on, we learn that the people of Israel were called by God to be a light to the nations. And then years after that, Jesus would say to his own followers, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your God." Now, these Bible references remind us that our actions matter. Our behavior reflects what kind of people we are and what's really in our hearts. It reflects our deepest desires and what we believe. Our actions are the most powerful part of our witness. And so when we are filled with the Spirit and live like it, amazing things will happen. And haven't we all met some Christians who are so full of the Spirit that their presence and their behavior inspires us, inspires our own faith? And haven't we all met Christians whose words or actions cause us to doubt our faith, or at least to say, "I don't want to be that kind of Christian"? You know, actions matter. And one of the great challenges facing the church today is that when many non-Christians look at us and our behavior, they aren't inspired. Sometimes they even get turned off on God and Christianity because they don't see people embodying the qualities Paul listed in the fruits of the Spirit. Recently, a national study conducted by the Episcopal Church found a glaring disconnect between the way we Christians see ourselves and the way non-Christians view us. Now, most Christians have a favorable view of themselves, while non-Christians see us as judgmental, hypocritical, and arrogant. That's a big problem. And it indicates that we have a lot of work to do, especially in the area of living by the Spirit. So the question that I want us to answer today is this: how do we live by the Spirit? Now, to do this, I think we have to start with our hearts. That's where our desires come from. It's where our problems begin. And it's where healing and transformation start. Now, when we desire to be filled with the Spirit will begin to change and transform our desires where they resemble God's desires. We begin to desire what is good and right. Instead of feeling like we have to do the right thing, we want to do the right thing. And by transforming our desires, the Spirit of God sets us off on a new journey where we begin living out God's desires. And the New Testament relates this to walking. Now, when we were babies, we couldn't walk, but with time, the desire to move led us to first roll over, then crawl, followed by standing, and eventually walking. Now, a lot of falls were involved, but step by step, we learned to walk. And now, we don't give much thought to walking, we just do it. Walking in the Spirit is like this. Now, the Scriptures are filled with the image of walking. In the Bible, we are told to walk in the light, walk by faith, walk in love, walk in the newness of life, walk in truth. And to be a disciple of Christ means that we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Now let's put this in perspective. See, the journey that we're on with Christ requires us to take just one step at a time. It begins with the desire to move with God's Spirit. And then, with each step that we take, we're drawn deeper into God's desires, and that moves us forward. It moves us to do the next right thing because we're keeping our focus on the one that we follow. Now, when we walk with the Spirit, we are moving forward, and that means we leave the past in the past. If we do stumble and fall, we pick ourselves up and we keep walking. If we get distracted and wander off the path, we take a moment to refocus on where we're going, and then we keep walking. When we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, when we stay connected to Christ, the Spirit will fill us with new life. The Spirit will move in us and through us. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul talked about this by using the image of welcoming a guest, where we make room in our hearts so that the Spirit of God can dwell in us. Paul also told Timothy to fan into a flame the gift of God in his heart. Now, these images of walking in the footsteps of Christ, of making room in our hearts for God and fanning into a flame the Spirit that's within us are different images of what it means to live by the Spirit. And the purpose of these images is to help us envision what this life is like. These images are meant to encourage us. And you know, there are some simple steps that we can take that will help us walk in the Spirit and live by the Spirit. And one step that we can take happens the moment that we wake up. Before we even get out of bed, we can open our hearts to God and ask the Lord to abide in us so that good fruit will develop in our lives. We can ask God to keep the fire burning in our hearts. And I promise you, starting your day like this will make a difference. Now, developing this kind of habit helps us become more receptive to the work of the Spirit. And we can do similar things throughout the day. When we sit down for a meal, we can offer thanks for our food and use that time to reconnect to God. When we're stuck waiting at a stoplight or at the doctor's office or at a checkout line, we can pray, "Here I am, Lord. Please move in and through me to bless other people." And when we're faced with a challenging situation, we can ask the Spirit to give us guidance and wisdom. When we sense that we've let something other than God's Spirit fill us, things like anger, lust, greed, and fear, we can simply acknowledge our mistake seek forgiveness, and once again, surrender to the Holy Spirit. Now, as we walk with the Spirit, as we move with the Spirit, as we live in the Spirit, no day will ever be the same. Some days our journey will be easy, and life will feel good and joyful, but other days might feel hard. We may stumble in our walk with the Spirit. We may lose our way. We may feel like we're under constant attack. And it's in times like that we will need patience, endurance, and perseverance. We will need tenacity to keep putting one foot in front of the other so that we can move ahead with the Spirit. And if we keep going, if we keep walking with the Spirit, we will have stories to tell. We will have stories to tell about how God's Spirit has inspired us, empowered us, guided us, sustained us, and instructed us. As a community of faith, we are called to share our stories with each other. And we can share our joys and our sorrows. We can share mistakes we've made and the lessons we've learned. And we can talk about how God's Spirit is moving in us and among us. Sharing our stories is so important because it's one of the ways that we encourage each other. It helps us learn and grow. And it helps keep us on track with living with the Spirit. Now, staying on track isn't always easy because people sometimes lose their way. Instead of walking further with the Spirit, they stop and they look back. They become proud at what they've accomplished or what they learned. And before they know it, they've quit moving forward. They quit learning. They may even think they have all the answers, which leads them to quibble and argue with people who disagree with them. But when we live with the Spirit, when we walk with the Spirit, we recognize that there is always more to learn. We always have room to grow. And that leads us to push ahead. And we can keep moving ahead with the Spirit by following in the footsteps of Christ. I invite you today to open your heart to the Spirit. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that your desires might change and become more like God's desires. And as those desires change, your actions will change. And ultimately, you will be transformed. Now, this happens not all at once, but step by step as we walk and as we live by the Spirit. I encourage you this week to be intentional about walking and living by the Spirit. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we celebrate today that your Spirit is moving in our world, and you invite us to join you by walking in the Spirit. But you don't force this on us. You simply give us the choice. And we pray today that we would choose to open our hearts to you so that we might walk and live by the Spirit. Move in us, Lord, and move through us. Transform our desires and help us to live fruitful lives so that we might bless others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our band will lead us in another song in just a minute. During this time, I'll be in the back of the room if any of you would like to come and share how God is moving in your life. If you would like to pray, I'll be there to pray with you. Or if you'd like to share about how God is leading you to make an important decision in your life, I'll be there to listen. But let's stand now and we'll continue with our worship of God.